You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Final hour has arrived, and we are glad to be here. Second day of SEC Media Days, a couple of games in already, and two more to go. A coaching dismissal today at Vanderbilt, so it's been a pretty busy day. Justin Ferguson with us from the Auburn Observer, covers Auburn, of course. Bruce Pearl's team. A lot was expected, and there were moments, Justin, this season seemed like it was on the brink, and then the Tigers found a way back. How would you describe these last couple of months?
Yeah, it's been a crazy SEC schedule for Auburn because they don't have that big signature road win, but what they did better than anybody else in the country is just take care of business. All their wins this year have come by double digits. And, to close in this season and to finish the way they did to get a double bye, that was something that Bruce Pearl talked really, highly of this year. Like, that was a main goal for this team to, not have to play till Friday with the league as good as it was this year. And so I think the big thing here down the stretch for Auburn is that over the last five games, top five offense in college basketball, and they're hoping that they can get hot again like they did a few years ago when they were in here and ran all the way to the Final Four starting here in Nashville.
Yeah, it's a little hard to believe that Auburn was the last SEC team to get to the Final Four in 2019. And, such an amazing game and should have been in the finals, but mm-hmm. that's only been hashed out for about 6 years now. but let's talk about Bruce Pearl. He was hired 10 years ago. Yep. It wasn't, even though he was a slam dunk coach, there was apprehension in some circles about what he had left behind. This has been about as good a hire as Auburn's had in a long time.
Foundational. I mean, one of the most transformational hires I think you could have had, because Auburn basketball just doesn't have a ton of history, just a couple bright spots. And what they are doing now is it is consistently contending. Not going to win a championship every year, but when you look at two regular season titles, you think about Auburn being expected to make the NCAA tournament every year. I mean, 6 years ago, it had been over a decade since they had even made it, and it's just these long gaps. You have built a consistent contender at Auburn, and that was something that a lot of people didn't think was ever going to happen. But Bruce Pearl's done it, and like you said, it's been 10 years. Monday will be the 10-year anniversary of him being hired at Auburn. So it's been crazy what this decade has looked like for Auburn basketball.
And it's just so hard to remember back then. I mean, Bruce Pearl was a name that, when he was at Tennessee, considered one of the preeminent coaches, and then it, for really a poor decision and judgment by him, all he had to do was, yes, we had a barbecue at our house. So it wasn't that big a deal. Today it would be laughed at.
Today's nothing.
And, and he paid for it dearly.
Yeah, and Auburn was the spot that gave him the second chance, and he's talked about how grateful he's been to Auburn and trying to make the most of this because he's doing what he did at Tennessee, and he's done it at Auburn. Now he's done it even longer at Auburn than he was at Tennessee, and it was something for him to take a program that didn't really have much history and try to get it to the heights of what he did at Tennessee, which is, make deep runs, win titles, be number one in the country. He's done all that at Auburn and doesn't look like it's going to slow down anytime soon.
There's always, whenever there's a father and son coaching situation, people naturally raise their eyebrows. But in Stephen's case, I mean, there's a lot of people who look at him as a future head coach.
Absolutely. And I think, Auburn, a lot of Auburn folks would love for him to be the next guy up. And I think that's one of the interesting things about Stephen Sprell. He has been such a crucial piece to a lot of good coaching staffs at Auburn. And he could have easily gone, to another school. And the fact that he stayed at Auburn and the fact that Auburn's been able to be have this much continuity with their assistant coaching staff. Bruce Pearl says, like, that's one of the keys why they are so consistently good, is all that continuity on that staff, and Stephen's a huge part of that.
We are talking to Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer. Justin, I realize this is basketball, but the football also is fairly important.
Yeah.
At Auburn, with spring practice here for almost everyone, what are you getting from Hugh Freeze and his staff? A lot of changes down there.
A lot of changes, and it's all engineered toward being more comfortable for Hugh Freeze in year two, and you know, taking on more of the play calling duties on offense. What they looked at is they saw that last year Auburn did not, they just weren't good enough on offense, especially against teams that were quality. And you know, he makes the decision to bring in Derek Nix. He's going to take in more of the play calling. It's a lot of guys he's familiar with. And that's been the big thing this year. Everybody got to get on the same page. They've got to reload on the defensive side, but on offense, like, they just know that they have to be better. Because last season, you know, Auburn did not beat a team that made a, you know, that finished with a winning record, and that's not going to get it done long term.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have much experience being down there. I was only down there once the whole season, so
sure.
Everything's anecdotal, but. It just seemed like something was missing,
mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether that was just a transition for Hugh Freeze. I mean, what do you think it was that created or led to that, you know, pretty much disastrous ending?
Yeah, I go back to the fact that when you hire Hugh Freeze and you bring him in, you want to have the offense, and especially the passing game.
Right.
He was supposed to be come in and help fix it, and Auburn didn't really take that step forward, and there were a number of reasons for that. You know, didn't have the production of wide receiver, inconsistency at quarterback, protection. And then I think, again, like I said, you know, you're not on the same page with your coordinator. You know, you're speaking two different languages.
Right.
The whole goal this year is to be like, hey, this is Hugh Freeze's offense, and, you know, they've reloaded. They're going to try to make that step forward. But I think it was a big thing is that when you hire Hugh Freeze, you want the Hugh Freeze offense, and Auburn didn't quite get that last season, and they got to get it to get back to where they want to be.
I mean, literally hitting the refresh button on the coaching staff.
Sure.
I realize it's early, but you know these people. What's your sense?
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing for them is just, you know, the familiarity with a lot of them on offense and on defense as well. I think that was kind of the thing they want to do. They felt like last season, chemistry-wise, on the team, on the coaching staff, it wasn't a toxic situation or anything
right.
like that, but just, like you said, something felt a little off.
Right.
And so I think everything Hugh Freeze has done here this offseason to engineer his staff has been towards addressing that, which is, you know, let's get guys that I trust, that I've been familiar with, that I've had success with, and let's see if you can take that, you know, get this program at Auburn back to where it wants to be. Because, I mean, when you look at it, three straight losing seasons. That hadn't happened in a very, very long time at Auburn. They got to turn it around.
We had the schedule up. Always when you're at Georgia, not Alabama, you know, you're in an even year. That is for sure. Justin, thank you. It's always great to see you.
Absolutely.
Appreciate your coverage, and we will talk to you very soon. We'll take a short break. We still have about 45 minutes remaining live in Nashville.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We are back live, and man, what a thrill to have Billy Lucci on our program. We talk to Billy whenever we can when we're making these trips as we get ready for more basketball here in just a few minutes. Billy Lucci joining us, and Billy, it is always great to see. We'll get to football in a second. Let's start with basketball. Buzz was here yesterday, and they bring a lot of clothes when they come to the SEC tournament.
They have. I mean, the last 2 years to the finals, I would say this will be their toughest path if they're to get there. But the last couple of years, they've had to knock off teams like Arkansas, Alabama. No, it was Arkansas, Auburn, right. Tennessee. They've had some formidable roadblocks along the way. And the last 2 years, they've come up just short. I don't think they have to get all the way to Sunday to make it this year. I do think they have to win tonight.
Yeah.
And this, you know, this is a team they just beat by 30-plus in Oxford. To me, that feels really dangerous. Ole Miss went into College Station, beat them. They've got nothing to lose. A&M's kind of got everything to lose tonight. I do think, though, if Buzz, Wade Taylor, and those guys can get past this one, they'll give Kentucky all they can handle. It's a team they beat at Reed Arena earlier year. And they're used, like you said, they're used to the bigger games in this venue, in this tournament. So I think they'll actually probably fare better as they move along. I think this is the real danger zone for them.
Yeah, and Buzz Williams is such a good tournament coach. And there's a difference. I mean he's got that in his DNA.
He does. And, you know, you look at it, even at A&M, he took them to the NIT Finals the year they didn't make it.
Right.
Virginia Tech went on, I think,
a couple of runs.
16 run or two. Marquette to the Elite Eight. So whatever it is he does, and I think it's that quick turnaround and just really the hyper focus that he.
But in tournament play, I think Rick Pitino gave me this lesson one night late somewhere. Always late with Rick Pitino. he said the tournament coaches are different because you don't have a week, and especially the 1 or 2 that here it's 1 day, and the NCAA it's 2 days. That's how you separate the great ones from the Hall of Famers.
I do. I think Buzz is that coach with guys like Wade Taylor and Radford and all this experience. This is one team in the tournament. I think A&M and Florida that are out of that top group that don't let them win a couple games because they might stick around a while.
We're talking to Billy Lucci. You can't talk to Billy without getting a preview of what's happening on the gridiron. Jimbo Fisher, is he really gone? Can you confirm that we don't have Jimbo Fisher to kick around anymore?
There's no Jimbo Fisher. You and him can't have the annual awkward sit down.
I mean, last year, I don't know if I've ever felt like I was more in outer space trying to interview somebody than that one.
And, you know, that one was the weirdest to me because Jimbo felt really good going into last season. He felt like he was in as good a place as I remember him, but obviously that didn't translate on the field, and there was too much of that. And Mike Elko, I'll tell you what, like, in a lot of ways, I think he's been a breath of fresh air. I've been out and watched them kind of work out a little bit, and they are, whether it's Elko or Tommy Moffitt or I think Colin Klein's really exciting as that OC, and he's kind of – everything he's done so far, I've gone, okay, as someone that's seen a lot of different coaches.
He just seems so smart. Different breed.
Here's what I think's really cool about him and why he's had even the success he's had, and I think he's got a lot more coming. He's extremely intelligent. You know, he's an Ivy League guy, but he's also got that Northeast personality. He's a smart aleck. He's got some real humor and wit to him. It's dry, but then also he's, you know, the team seems looser around him, but he's a disciplined dude now and on every level. So but if he comes in here and talks to you, I saw him on your show, but you, me, anybody in the media, a recruit, their family, he doesn't talk, for someone that's that smart, any above your level at all, even when talking football.
Billy, we don't spend a lot of time on ADs, but we have to ask you about, Ross Bjork left a couple weeks ago for Ohio State. A lot of people are like, what?
Yeah.
But as raised eyebrows as we had on that, they were even raised higher yesterday when Trev Alberts emerged and was named. This is a guy that, you know, was a great player at Nebraska. He was on TV. He was at ESPN, I think.
Yep.
And then he goes back and tries to resurrect his alma mater. And then he ends up, I mean, what is the buzz on that?
So this, I've been following the AD search for a while. I was really, everything about the new A&M president has impressed me. Like the
general?
Yeah.
I exactly. like him.
And that, and don't you feel like that's
When we were together the day with you out in College Station last September, I think, and he just blew me away.
And so he, you know, then he may have even been the interim at that
time.
Yeah,
he was hoping to be the...
So that's having him lead a search committee and then some of the people that were on that committee and just hearing what I did, I felt really good about it, but I stayed back until we got close to the finish line. And about Friday, I heard the name Trev Alberts.
Wow.
And it wasn't until about Monday that I started to kind of get that from, you know, A&M sources, not the outside. And they were so fired up, I think, to even have a chance to get him. I think when they started out, they didn't think there was going to be guys like him.
There wouldn't be much reason to think he would. I mean, I've heard some odd since then, and you know more than I do, but I mean, I think things in Lincoln at the top weren't great.
And I think that's, you know, you do that, you know that in coaching. You look for that opening and that window, and I think Trev's background really fits what A&M's looking for. I think it fits with Elko. I think the way he embraced NIL at Nebraska, you know, you can look at Nebraska football, but going and getting Matt Rhule was a hell of a hire.
Big time.
And then his background at Omaha, right? You don't think there's much to that. But you said the football career, the media, high profile, and then to go and start literally at the very bottom and roll your sleeves up, he had to cut sports there. And I believe he cut football. He had to cut sports. And I hate to say it, but we've been talking about it for the last year or so. You know that's coming down the road. There's going to be a massive change in NIL. Athletic departments might be paying players themselves. You might have to drop sport. His background being kind of unconventional, I think, really fits what A&M was looking for.
Yeah, it was just, A&M has gone through so much. This is, the third AD in, 6 years?
Well, yeah, I mean, easily.
And about two or three interims.
4 or 5 years, right?
Yeah, maybe less.
Because Woodward was there at the start of
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Problem is, you've had so much turnover, Paul, at A&M, at president.
Yeah.
Head coach. I mean, the head coaches have lasted 5-6 years. It's not like they're every 2 or 3. But president, athletic director, there needs to be real alignment there. And I think, I don't know Trev. I remember him as a player. I remember him as media. They dug up some comments I made like 22 years ago that are now legal to drink, where I was like, you know, probably said some stuff about you before I knew you too.
Yeah, but you probably still do.
You go look at it and... You know, I think you got a really convicted, strong head coach, athletic director, and president now. And as you know, and Aggies listening know this, and I think everybody around the SEC knows this now too, it's a very unique job, and you better have some real wherewithal at those three spots to work together, but also kind of keep everything at arm's length and say, let us do us.
And I think... I'll say this from the outside, because I've had the good fortune of from day one getting to know some people out there.
Yeah.
I've told you about Porter Gardner inviting me out many years ago, and he really showed me what it meant. He's the head of the former students. The pride that you see in Aggieland, and I think sometimes people go, well, that, you know, there's a lot of people involved. I say that because I don't think there is. I'm heading to Austin soon for a trip, and I need to get your, this might be the last time we ever let you talk about Texas.
Oh my God.
But what are you sensing? It's real now. Mm-hmm. They're in the SEC in football.
Yep. I mean, look, I think in fairness, I thought they did it. they've done a great job. To me, they're so much further ahead of Oklahoma now as they're coming in. And that could turn on a dime, but from where I sit,
very good shape.
They have built an SEC football roster. They're elite in most other sports. A&M went down there in baseball and kicked them around a little bit. That might, ironically, where they have the most championships, might be the one that they're kind of the most fortunate that they're not in the league this year. But I still think Texas fans, and I mean all of them, are still underestimating this league.
Really?
Not just in football, but across sports. And I think Texas will have a lot of success across sports. I do. But I think they're underestimating it in football. That you just – I've sat there on the field and watched the Big 12, really back when it was better, and the SEC, and there's just no comparison. You know, on those games where you barely beat U of H or you struggle with Iowa State or you barely outlast Kansas, you're losing those in the SEC at Davis Wade, in Fayetteville. Those off days, you lose football games.
Yeah, and even last year, it was the best Texas season in forever.
Yeah.
I mean, they were a tip here and there of not being around.
And it is a fine line. But when you come into to me in this conference, those narrow wins over the lesser teams are losses. And unfortunately, I'd love to sit here and tell you I haven't seen that happen, but I see it.
It's not just
an A&M thing. You know, it's across the league. It's league-wide. They haven't been living in that rent.
Just a couple of seconds left, and this is where I really am curious. What about their fans? You think they're ready for what they're about to get into?
Not on social media, no. I do think the general fans are. I think they're really excited about it. They remind me of where A&M fans were when they were coming in. There's this great unknown. I do think, though, that the Texas fans, what the league's going to realize, they are going to come in with a little bit different level of arrogance than
what the
league's used to.
Purely from a selfish standpoint, I can't wait because A&M fans have been great to deal with. I just respect them. Texas fans, I just can't wait for the battles with Alabama fans.
I'll tell you what, they're actually great to deal with. I went to Austin a couple weeks ago for the game. They were wonderful. But they're going to come in definitely thinking they're better than everyone else in the league.
And that is tailor-made for the Feinbaum Show.
For drama. Yeah.
Billy Lucci, what a pleasure.
There you go.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, welcome back. The final 30 minutes of our coverage here on a Thursday afternoon late. Joseph Sisson joins us from the Rome News Tribune covering the Dogs, who are still here. Joseph, a lot of people weren't so sure about that, but slightly surprising win last night.
Yeah,
or maybe it wasn't.
Well, I mean, you know, they come into that game a 2.5-point underdog. Game started off slow. You know, they played tight and gave up the lead at half, and you know, I think their defense, you know, really kept them into that game. I think they ended up shooting 8 more three-pointers than Missouri did, you know, to finish up the game. And I think that's what they're going to have to do tonight, you know, in order to compete with Florida.
Coach White is, you know, certainly well-respected. I think there is an expectation that he is going to turn the corner, or maybe is on the verge of of turning the corner. Joseph, let me get to a program that doesn't need to turn any corners, and that's the football program. Last year seemed disappointing. A fourth place national finish, did not win the SEC or the national championship. But we'll be preseason number one again for the second year in a row. Just your assessment of the difference between this club coming in and what we have seen the last couple of years.
You know, there's a lot of people that have been worrying with, you know, with NIL transfer portal, a lot of kids coming in and coming out. But, you know, I don't think that there's anybody better in the business at recruiting and bringing talent in than Kirby. You know, if you talk to some of the kids that are at the combine, you know, they're going, you know, they're saying the kids that they are that are younger, that are coming up, that are better than they were, you know. So I think the expectation that's been set in Athens is second to none. You know, I think that it is something that is going to be there for a while. I think you're right. There was a lot of people very upset with, you know, how the season ended last year. They felt like they should have been playing for that national championship. And granted, you know, Georgia did finish the season with better records than Alabama. But, you know, I think it was a learning experience that, you know, if you don't win every game and compete heavily, that, you know, you just may not be there at the end of the year.
I mean, there is that fine line, and I don't cover Georgia, but I can give you two plays in the Alabama game that probably should have been different.
No, they weren't.
But that's what you have to guard against. And a year ago, all we talked about was the schedule, and I don't know I don't think it really mattered in the end. That game really hurt them because Alabama's loss was against a Final Four team. Georgia's loss was too, but it just came at the wrong time.
Yeah, you know, and talking about scheduling, you know, a lot of people thought that schedule last year was easy. You know, Georgia's looking down a different path this year. They probably got one of the hardest schedules out there, you know.
Yeah, I mean, this to me is for anyone else, would be a frightening schedule. Clemson, I mean, even at Kentucky, that's always a difficult place. At Alabama, doesn't need any more conversation. At Texas, at Ole Miss, is there any concern that the schedule is too much?
You know, it's a tough schedule. It's a daunting schedule. You know, the big difference is, I mean, you know, the games are running into late November. There's two bye weeks on the schedule this year, you know, before Alabama and before Florida. And the fact that, you know, we have to go on the road and play a lot of these teams, I think it's going to be really, really challenging to see even how Carson Beck handles himself in these situations on the road at Texas, at Alabama.
Yeah.
You know, I know a lot of people are a little disappointed that Saban's not going to be in Alabama this year for that game. But I don't think that it changes the fact how important that game is going to be, you know, is coming at a pivotal time in the season, you know, early on. And, you know, it's going to be a big game before, you know, we go home and play one game and go back on the road and play Texas.
Joseph, I mean, you would need a team of researchers to find anything negative to say about Kirby Smart. However, you knew there was a however there. I think it's a 1-5 record against Nick Saban. By the way, doesn't put him in any different classification than every other coach in the country, but it just does seem weird, does it not, that with all the success that he's had, including a national championship win, that it ends up like that?
Yeah, you know, it a lot of people, you know, say Georgia can't get over the Alabama hump. For, you know, for a lot of Georgia fans, they can't get over the Saban hump. And, you know, I think it does change the dynamic of that game, not having Saban there. And I think those wins to some Georgia fans may not be as meaningful because that was just something that we couldn't get over. And you're right, we did beat Saban in, you know, in Indianapolis, but that's it. We couldn't beat him in Atlanta. We couldn't beat him anywhere else. And, you know, the fact that he's not there leading that team, I just don't know that those games are going to be as meaningful and impactful down the road as they were.
Joseph Sisson getting ready for the football season and basketball. You got a game to cover. We'll let you get going on that. But thank you very much for dropping by. It's a pleasure to get a chance to meet you. We still have time. We're going to get to some phone calls. We haven't hardly done that at all today. And we'll do that the rest of the way. If you want to give us a ring right now at 855-242-7285. That and a recap of what has been an eventful day here in Nashville.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships,
your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, welcome back. What an eventful afternoon and evening. We've had a couple of country music legends. The lead singer from Sawyer Brown. We had Jordan Davis, who was one of the hottest country stars. And a number of other fantastic guests. Let's check out Larry, who's got his own record coming out. Never. Good afternoon,
hello.
Larry. Hey there.
Hey, my man. What's up?
We're doing great, Larry. What's up with you?
Hey, man, I don't know. This basketball stuff, you're doing pretty good on it. You kind of lost. Sound like you
well,
kind of lost.
Well, yeah, I do my best, Larry. I mean, it's hard to do a show next to the beer wagon sober.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm literally like next to a concession stand where they're selling Bud Lights, and I haven't had one yet.
Hey, is Randy with you?
No, Randy didn't make the cut. You have to come to Nashville on this trip, you have to take a drug test.
Hey, man, you see where they was? NCAA getting their butt sued over them boys out there trying to compete with them girls.
What was that?
You see that? The
What's
NCAA
that?
Getting their ass sued off.
Yeah, I have seen that. That was yeah, Larry, it's a little hard to hear you with all the noise here, but I'll do my best.
I know, man. I'm sorry. I'm in a bad shape. I appreciate you taking my call anyway.
How you feeling? You doing okay?
Yeah, man. How about a Roll Tide, man? I feel better.
Okay, Roll Tide, Larry. Hey, thanks, Larry. You be well. You take care of yourself. William is up next in Maryville. Hey, William.
Well, great to hear. Paul, great to hear from Larry. I'm glad he's doing well. I'd like to address a couple of things and ask you a question, if I may.
Of course.
First thing, Paul, you've had a lot of callers calling in and you know, woe begone about the state of college sports. I actually think that we're entering into the golden age of college sports, not just football, and the reason I say that is, number one, I think that the economic issues of employment and NIL and transfer, and I think those things will work themselves out either through the courts or through legislation or through agreement. But number two, as a college sports fan, you know, if you're a fan of a team, you can watch football, baseball, basketball, women's basketball, you know, virtually every sport from your team on either a streaming service or regular TV. And, you know, if you're just a fan of a particular sport, you can watch 20 or 30 college football games in a weekend. And I think that college sports in general, there are some things that have bothered me. I mean, for instance, in baseball where college baseball would get, what, 5 scholarships and divide them up between, you know, 10 or 15 players, I think there's some things that need to be tweaked. But I think the future of college sports, and, you know, as a fan, you're not really...
Well, William, let me offer something. I saw something the other day, I believe it was by Casey Wasserman. You may know the name. He's the chairman of the L.A. Olympics, his father from the famous Hollywood Wasserman family. He was a sports agent and entrepreneur. He said he thinks that college football is vastly undervalued right now. He sees the value being almost 2 to 3 times what it is today. And I hear that. you may have heard me say this before, private equity money is coming into college football. I'm not just talking about the wackos down at Florida State who are trying to get out of the ACC. It's across the board from all the big houses in New York. And even though, you know, Saban said what he did and everybody's, you know, trying to predict the doom and gloom, you're 100% correct.
Well, the other thing, Paul, my old friend, not to name drop, Rick Ray of Raycom Sports, he told me 25 or 30 years ago, and I've known Rick since high school, but he said, you know, the problem we're going to face when cable exploded is content. And there's going to be all these stations out there that need content. And now, you know, non-major, non-revenue college sports are providing that content. And, you know, as a fan, Paul, unless you pay to go to the games, you know, you can pretty much participate as a fan for free. And, you know, the streaming services or whatever you pay. But you can watch your favorite team or your favorite sport. And I agree that, you know, it's going to be based on numbers and viewership and streaming and this sort of thing. But I think college sports is entering a golden era. And
well, you're another right. thing Wall that's going Street on, too, is the gambling aspect of it is also fueling it. And, I mean, I could literally walk out here tomorrow and, you know, hook up with a gambling company, which I don't want to, by the way. And necessarily and completely overwhelm what we're doing here, but that is what's driving a lot of this. But the thing you said about what Rick Ray said, the content aspect of it, I mean, the SEC Network launched 10 years ago, and it has been among the most successful cable launches ever. And I'm not saying that because I work there.
Well, and Paul, it's only going to get better. But now my number two point I'd like to make is I'd like to reach out as a friend to Jim and say, Jim, you know, when I hear you talk, I think you're a seventh grade boy using terms like fart face and I hate your guts. And I guess next thing Jim's going to do is call you a rat fink, which when I was in seventh grade was the worst thing you could call somebody. I said, but we all know Jim is probably above 75. And I want to say to Jim, don't let the content of your message be diluted by your delivery. And if you approach every aspect of your life with the venom and the vitriolic and the hate that you approach calls into Feinbaum, you know, you're probably going to stroke out at some point in time. And I just urge Jim to stay calm and make his point, because we want to hear his point. He makes some great points. And we want to hear that, but for his own health, please, as a friend, Jim, please just stay calm, take a deep breath, and if you're living your life this way, then, you know, it probably doesn't bode well medically. So I just wanted to say that about Jim, because a lot of people bash Jim, and you and I have had conversations about Jim before, and, you know, again, I watch the show, and sort of gotten to know some of the other callers, and I just want Jim to continue without all the, you know, all the anger and the name calling. But my last question, Paul, is a little bit of a non sequitur, and it's if the Lady Vols do not do well in the tournament, what is Kelly Harper's future after the debacle against South Carolina the other day?
William, I think it's dimming. I don't know. I mean, again, remember, she was hired by Philip Fulmer. You know that.
Yep.
The new athletic director there, who's no longer that new, runs things completely differently. The fact that she played for Pat is not going to matter. It mattered that she got hired. I think the question would be easier to answer in about a week or two. I think I would advise her, and I like her very much, to get some sort of a run in the tournament.
Well, that's, of course, my first thought after the debacle against South Carolina was, did she not ever see Christian Leitner's shot against Kentucky?
Yeah, no, it was. I mean, the problem she has is a good problem, but it's also a dangerous problem, and it got her predecessor. Is the expectations for the Lady Vols hasn't changed much in 10 years. And
well, you know, it used to be, and I've said this, I think I've said this on the show before, it used to be that no matter how bad things were in football or basketball or other men's sports, we always had the Lady Vols to cheer for. And we always knew they would do well. And when that fell off, I think that, again, and as I've said, I think that Pat Summitt was the moral compass of the University of Tennessee. But, I just wanted to get your opinion on that. Cause not much.
No, great to hear from you, William.
That.
I will talk to you soon. Thank you very much. Tommy is up next. Tommy is up on the line. Good afternoon, Tommy.
Hey, Paul, great to be on the show. I'm going to change gears just a bit and talk about Chris Mortensen. A friend of mine and a colleague of yours that we lost, and his son was a high school quarterback where my son played football, and we had a lot of fun sitting in the stands, and I just wanted to make sure we talked about him a bit and how much we're going to miss him.
Tommy, I completely agree, and the tributes to Mort have been simply spectacular. He's truly one of the more important and iconic people in his field ever. I knew him. I've known him a long time, not probably as well as you did, but I knew him when he was in Atlanta, and I would see him occasionally. And he was a kind, really decent human being, and I can't say that about a lot of people that get to where he achieved and the success that he had. It sometimes, and sadly, it affects all of us. Thank you for mentioning Mort. That's really very kind of you. We have to run. We'll do this again tomorrow. We're here all day tomorrow afternoon. And we thank you for being a part of the program. Thank everybody behind the scenes. Really a lot of fun with all the country music stars and all the basketball guests. Have a great night. Good night from Nashville.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.